Now, just so you'll know, next time before we sing Marvelous Light, we're going to have spinning practice. You're going to have to learn to put your hands in the air and spin around so Mackenzie won't be laughing at her dad, who's the only one spinning in the room. But you just can't sing that song without throwing your hands in the air and spinning around. So next time, Bruce, we've got to have spinning practice. Bruce isn't so sure. He's going, I got a cord. I'm not spinning. But all the rest of you are fine. You can spin. So anyway, we'll have Brock spinning on his drum seat before we're done. Wichita Falls is the place where we lived when I was a boy between the ages of 6 and 14. If you've never had to live in Wichita Falls, I don't recommend it. But anyway, we spent there. The Wichita Falls Times Record News, the newspaper there, would run pictures and diagrams of houses in the Sunday paper. I would cut them out every week. I wanted to be an architect when I grew up. I thought that would be cool. I was fascinated by houses. I still am. I like to know more about building them and restoring them. It's always been an interest, even if it has come with a lack of knowledge and of skill. But they intrigue me and they interest me. Building is an interest of God's as well. That's certainly how Paul makes it sound in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as he describes the church. First of all, as a field, and then he describes it as a building and a temple. And we discover that God is very concerned about construction, about building what is the temple of God, the building of God, which is the church. The Spirit of God does that work. And we find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This morning, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, 1 Corinthians 3. Beginning at verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. This is the word of God, and you may be seated. Thank you. The Spirit of God dwelling in us makes us God's temple. The Spirit of God dwelling in us makes us God's temple. Do you know that we are the temple of God? Paul says it with a tad bit of rebuke. Don't you know? He says to them, don't you know that you are the temple of God? Now, if you know, then you are called on to reflect that you are God's. That if you know that, then you are called upon to be a reflection of God and all that you are doing, and that you are to live that out and to display that. You know, we often say, I'm going to church. I'm going to church. And what we're referring to is we're coming to this building. And I think that has confused some of our imagery of the church at times, because we think of the church as a building. And the church is not a building. The building is a tool. The better the tool, the better. You know, buildings are tools for what a church does. A church is the people who meet in it. Now, it's nice to have good tools. It's nice to have cool tools. I mean, it's, you know, why you've got Home Depot and Lowe's and Menards, and they have tool sections, and they put them near the door, and you can find them. It's hard for me to get through one of those stores many times without going through the tool section just to look and see what they have. It's kind of cool. Well, church buildings are that way. Church buildings are tools for the church to use. And because this building houses the church when we gather, it gives us a place to come and to assemble and to do those things. And we want the building to be the best it can be. But as God has made us His temple, His building, and we are to be the best that we can be for God. And the only way for that to happen is for the Spirit of God to dwell in us. And that's what makes us a church. And God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwells in us. Awesome, incredible news. God's Spirit dwells in you individually as you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you live in a relationship with Him. But He also dwells in us collectively as His people. And as He's brought us together, He lives in us and makes us into God's building. And God doesn't want anyone destroying His building. And God wants it well taken care of. God will deal with anyone, it says, who destroys the temple. The language that Paul is using is language that would come from basically a building contract of his day and time. And it's language that is structured toward an insider, toward somebody who was a part of the building crew. Excuse me. And it's saying, you're responsible if any damage is done in the process of building the building. You ever been doing some kind of a project around the house and all of a sudden you had a bigger project? Some of you remember, they still run reruns, so even my children know about this show, The Cosby Show, and it was time to do something in the house. And Heathcliff went to get his tool belts. And Mom went to the phone quickly to call somebody else to come fix it so that he wouldn't do anything because there would be a bigger mess and a bigger repair job. You know, that's the way it is sometimes. But this language that is here is saying, look, in the process of constructing, if you do some damage, there's going to be some responsibility to pay for it. There would be a penalty for it. Our penalty is that God will deal with those who destroy, who do damage to His church. What would bring damage to God's temple? Well, in this specific verse, in this specific passage, there's nothing spelled out specifically. No specific details. But if you begin to have a scan across all of 1 Corinthians, you begin to get some insight about some things that could destroy the church, could bring damage to the church. Jealousy, found in chapter 3, if we're jealous. If we're boasting in ourselves, not in the Lord, found in chapter 1, along with quarreling. And people were quarreling. Imagine that, church people. Quarreling, but it brings damage to the church. Arrogance. You're going to be arrogant. Chapter 4, there's arrogance. Chapter 5 leads us to immorality. Immorality, you may think, well, that was one person doing that. But yes, if that's one person is in the body of Christ, it affects the church and brings damage to the church. You don't believe me? Just think about every time we've had to listen about some preacher who was immoral and what it did to the church. Wronging your brothers or sisters in chapter 6. Not treating your brothers and sisters right and well and correctly. Chapter 7, not handling your marriage or your marriage bed well. And you think, well, how does that affect? Well, you're a part of the church and things aren't going well in your family, in your household, in your marriage as a husband and wife. It affects the church. Chapter 8, being a stumbling block to those who are weak. Chapter 10, idolatry. Chapter 11, broken relationships within the church that are caused by worldly divisions from the outside of the church. Chapter 12, not fulfilling your part in the body. So you're in the body, You're in the church. You have a part. You have a role. When you don't do your role, you don't do your part, you affect the church. And you bring damage to the church. Chapter 13, not acting with love. Chapter 14, not acting in a way that edifies the church. Chapter 15, flat out says, stop sinning. Your sin affects the church. Chapter 16, when we do not stand firm in the faith. When we do not stand firm in the faith, we can bring damage to the church. And so as we give a look through all of 1 Corinthians, we see numerous things that can bring damage to the church. We are called on not to engage in those things, to not have those things as a part of our lives, to live in a different way. They bring damage to the church because we are to be holy. It says God's temple is holy, and that's what we are. We are holy, and because of that, we are holy because God is holy, and as those who are holy, we are called on to live in a certain way, in a certain manner, that represents that holiness, that lives out that holiness, that doesn't engage in sin, it doesn't engage in wrongdoing, it engages in righteousness and holiness and purity. It engages in treating one another right as husbands and wives. It engages in treating one another right as brothers and sisters in Christ. It engages us in treating right those who do not yet know Jesus so that they might know Jesus. God's building, the church, needs a solid foundation. We are God's building. His church is God's building, it says to us. God basically has sent out a contract for a construction project, and God is the building inspector. God's going to inspect to see, is it built correctly? Done according to specifications, without fraud. God's going to look to determine those things, and God will assess fines, and God will grant rewards. You know, that's true in modern construction, road projects, right? You know, you get those kinds of things, and you finish late, there's a penalty. You finish early, there can be a reward. Those of you who, some of you around here I know are familiar with Fort Worth. In Fort Worth, there's a section of the road called the Mixmaster. It's where 35 and 30 meet. An interchange, and you can shoot off all different directions, and then there's another state highway that runs through there, and it can be a mess, and it can be very crowded. And a number of years ago, they redid it. And unbelievably, I've never seen this happen before, may never see it happen again. Unbelievably, they finished 9 months early. That was a big payday for that construction company. I've seen other ones where they finish late and it costs the company a lot of money as well. I mean, those kinds of things. That's some of the language that is here. Is if it's done well, there will be rewards. If not, there are fines to be paid. There's a penalty. The good thing for us is that Jesus Christ is the foundation for the church. We don't have to worry about establishing a foundation. God has established the foundation in Jesus Christ. We don't need another one. No other one will work anyway. And we build on His foundation. And we are beckoned to come together as a diverse group of people. With diversity of skills to build a church. We have different skills. I get to bring some to the table as a pastor called by the Lord to be a shepherd and a teacher to equip the saints for the work of the church. And the members of the body come together with your different skills to teach the word, to feed the people, to care for children, to organize and provide details for things that we are doing. I remember having the conversation with our elders before I came here to be the pastor, and one of the things I said, I'm not a great, strong, detailed person. Adam said, well, it's a good thing we've got some folks around here who are. I'm like, yeah, that's a good thing. God puts us together in that regard. And those who can do this and some who can't do that, that's okay. They can do other things, and those things then fit together. Because all of us are about building the church. Every one of us are about building the church. Now, Paul's language speaks of preaching and of teaching, and all of us do that in some manner because we have an assignment in the project. We have an assignment in the body. Another one of those images. We looked at that one earlier. You may not have been here that Sunday, but one of the great images in the New Testament is of the body of Christ, and that there's a head, Jesus Christ, and then we all fit together in the body somewhere, somehow, and God assigns us and puts us there, and we do our part. It helps the body to function. And we have an assignment in the church, in this building project, and we all fit in. All of us are commissioned to share the gospel, to help make disciples. All of us are to be doing that, and there's a sense of preaching and teaching in that element. You may do it in a variety of different ways, but all of us have that task with us. And we have to be careful how we build. We must be careful how we build. We've got to work diligently, and we work well. Giving our best, using good products, not trying to cut corners, not trying to do it halfway, not trying to do, can I just get by? But giving our very best, wanting it to be right, wanting it to be dead on, wanting it to last and be solid and be stable and be steady and be consistent. A good chunk of my life I have pastored in places where you have black dirt. And the theme of black dirt is if you'll stick with it when it's dry, it'll stick with you when it's wet. It is the stickiest, gooeyest stuff. But when it is dry, it is dry. And it shifts and it moves and it cracks and it gets cracks in it big enough you can stick your hand down in the ground. Maybe, and sometimes you can just keep going for ways. But I pastored a church that had a pretty expansive fellowship hall with a second story over it where we had classrooms. And that building had no cracks in it. It didn't move. It's because the guy that built the building put 85 piers underneath it. You see, he took the time to take the steps to do what was right, to build it so that it would last, so that it would stay, so that it would endure. It's what this is talking about, is that we're going to build well so that what we're doing will last, so that what we're doing will remain, will stay steady and consistent. We've got to be careful how we build, doing our work well, using good products. And then we build on the foundation. As we build on that foundation, the scripture says it will be tested. God is the building inspector. And God's going to check to see, have we done our work well? Because the quality of the work will be revealed. We are called upon to use good material. Right? He doesn't set off on some specifics of what is good material, but we need to understand good material is going to be that it's done biblically. It's going to be done biblically. It will be biblically sound. It will also be theologically sound, which will come from being biblically sound. That what we do, it'll be biblical, it'll be theologically sound, established and rooted in the Word of God. We say we're a people of the book, we've got to do it by the book. And it'll fit with Scripture, and it'll be theologically sound as we go. But I think there's, oftentimes we talk about that, but we leave out something else. And that is, there's an element of it about how it is presented as well. That it is done with kindness and with compassion and with love. I mean, the very book tells us to speak the truth with love. And we've done a lot of damage over the years as the church to the church because we have spoken the truth with hatred. We have spoken the truth with anger. And we wonder why all of those folks out there who didn't get up and go into any church anywhere today, didn't have any care or any thought to it, didn't even cross their minds, and we're wondering, well, why do they not want to do that? Because they couldn't hear the truth for the anger, the hatred, the despisal, all of those other things that we did to them that were not loving, that were not kind, that were not gracious. So we've got to do all of that together. But we've got to build it well. It reminded me, as I thought about that this week, it reminded me of the story of the three little pigs. The three little pigs, you remember the story? Has it been a while for some of you? It's on YouTube. You can go find it and watch it, just so you'll know. I thought about just showing it to you. It was kind of entertaining. You know, and the first pig is going to build his house with straw. And he's just kind of throwing his straw up there and covering his house. And he builds his house with straw. And he did that because it was easy and it was fast. And he wanted to have time to play. And the second little pig is building his house with wood. And it takes a little longer than the first pig, but still it's a fairly fast process. Why? Because he wanted to have time to play. And pig number one and pig number two from straw house and wood house all get together and they're playing their flute and their violin and they're singing and dancing and just having a wonderful time. And they go to see pig number three and they stand at the fence and begin to laugh at pig number three, who's building his house of brick. Solid and steady. And there's no time for play because there is work to be done, pig number three says. And he's like, besides that, when the wolf comes, then he is ready. And pig one and pig two start singing and dancing about not being afraid of the wolf. Until they see the wolf. And off they run, scrambling away. One to his woodhouse, the other one to his house of straw. And the wolf, of course, shows up at house number one, the house of straw. I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house down. And away the straw goes. Which leaves pig number one running to the house with the pig number two with the wood and almost gets captured by the wolf in the process. And he gets in and they shut the door. And finally, the wolf blows that house down as well. And when they discover the house is gone, nothing standing but the door, and they look and they see the wolf is still there, they run off to house number three. And in the house, the pig number three with the house of stone opens the door and allows them to come in. And he shuts the door and he locks it. And he's as relaxed as he can be because he's taken his time to do his work well. And the wolf is going to huff and he's going to puff and he's going to blow the house down. And he huffs and he puffs and he huffs and he puffs. And just creates a great deal of wind. And the pig number three accompanies him on the piano until he sees the chimney. And he tries to go down and lands in the boiling pot with turpentine in it. And he blasts back through the chimney and off he goes. And all three pigs are safe because one bothered to do his work well with good materials. Are we doing our work well? Are we using biblically sound, theologically sound material that will last? Because the work will be tested. Interestingly, the test comes through fire. You ever been around fire? I'm not talking about the fire you have built in your fireplace. I'm not talking about the fire at the fire pit in your backyard. I'm not talking about fire at the fire pit at the campground. You ever been around fire? It's consuming. But this says that fire will come It will test the work. And the fire is God's judgment. The purpose of it is to reveal the quality of the work, because the good work will remain. The good work will still be there. It will be steady. It will be consistent. It's going to remain, even though tested by fire. God's going to inspect the work. What remains will receive a reward, a blessing. Nothing specific is given to us about what that will be. And the reward is not salvation, for the worker has already been saved. And the poor work will be burned by the fire, burned up, fined for incompetent work. But notice this. Notice this. The worker does not lose his salvation. Salvation is secure in Christ. Even though a failure in the work, he is still saved. But one guy said, it may be compared to being snatched from the fire like Lot was when he was escaping Sodom, and you may be in heaven, but you might smell like smoke. The fire will come and will test. What's good and solid and steady will remain. What's been done right, what's been done with the right materials and well done will remain. All of us have to consider how we build on the foundation. We have one foundation. His name is Jesus. Are we doing good work? Are we using good material? Are we giving our best efforts? Are we like pig 3 or pigs 1 and 2? We're just trying to get done so that we can play. Are we trying to make sure we do good work first and give our best and be serious about our task of building the church? In the end, it will be revealed.